You have your Bible with you. I invite you to open up and join with me in Luke chapter 19. We're going to look in this morning at verses 28 through 40. Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. We've made it to Palm Sunday. And this morning, we are going to join Jesus and his disciples in that scene, using our holy imagination to take in all that was taking place on that momentous day. This is Jesus' long-awaited entry into Jerusalem, and it takes place during the Jewish Passover. And it's important for us to understand that, not just because of the religious significance of all that Jesus was changing and transforming with the Jewish faith, but also because of the dynamics in the city during the Passover season. There were usually 50,000 residents in Jerusalem, 50,000 people in this day who called the city home, but as many as 120,000 pilgrims would join them during Passover. The energy in the city would have been electric during this season. There was a sense of expectation, a sense of celebration, a sense of remembrance, and a sense of hope. Let's join the story now in Luke 19. I'll begin reading in verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' Jesus replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Please pray with me. Lord God, it is a joy for us to be gathered together in worship today. Here we are at the beginning of Holy Week after our Lenten journey has brought us to this place. In these next few moments, as we consider this story, and as we imagine ourselves in this place, standing among the disciples, taking it all in, I ask that you would pique our imaginations, that you would teach us through the experience and all that we would have seen and heard and smelled and experienced in that moment. So God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture, this gospel account that can take us there. I pray that in the next few minutes, you would give us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus is about to enter into Jerusalem for one last time. So he asked two disciples to arrange for transportation. The transportation comes in the form of a colt, a donkey's colt. They would find it in a village near Bethany. And Bethany, just by way of reminder, is where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, just about 2 miles from Jerusalem. This would have been a familiar space to Jesus and his disciples because much of Jesus' earthly ministry centered in that place. Jesus says, "If anyone asks you, tell them the Lord needs it." And I always like these kinds of things in Scripture. We've talked about this before. Was this supernatural when Jesus sent his disciples into Bethany? Was it supernatural, kind of like that Jedi thing? The Lord needs it. You know, that was going to be the explanation and the Holy Spirit was going to work all of this out. Maybe it was kind of a God power thing, Jesus acting as the Son of God. Or maybe it was just plain prearranged. And somebody knew that the Lord was going to need their colt on that day. We'll never know for sure. But in either case, Jesus does this to fulfill prophecy. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Behold, your king is coming to you on a colt." And as Jesus makes the short journey to Jerusalem, people spread their cloaks on the road. There's precedent for this in 2 Kings chapter 9. It was the way a king was received. Often a king coming back in from battle, from conquering someone, an enemy, and they'd be on their war horse, and they'd be glorious. They'd be a powerful figure. And as they made their way into the city, people to honor them would throw cloaks on the ground to show their respect and their appreciation for all that king had done. Like an ancient red carpet leading the way into the city, the cloaks on this occasion led Jesus on his way into Holy Week. Now, there were a lot of people gathering around that day as the processional made its way down toward Jerusalem, but not everyone felt the same way about what was happening that day. How did the people respond? Let's start with the disciples. How did the disciples respond? And I don't think this was just the 12 disciples, because we're talking about the miracles and the celebration that went with that. These were people who had become followers of Jesus through the impact of his ministry. So the 12 were there, but also others who gathered around. They seemed thrilled. They participated in the process by finding the donkey for Jesus and creating a saddle out of their own garments. They created that red carpet that drew them into Jerusalem, and they cried out in loud voices. They were saying words from Psalm 118 that formed our call to worship today. You can see it on the banners behind me. And yet they were changing just one word, substituting king in there, and speaking of a king who had glory and a king who would bring peace. The disciples were thrilled at what was going on this day. But how did the Pharisees respond? These were the religious leaders, and it was significant to them what was going on during Passover in Jerusalem. And as much as they'd had their interactions with Jesus and didn't like the type of popularity he was drawing, they also wanted to keep things calm in the city during their religious celebration. We're told they grumbled and they criticized, and they found the claims that were being made about Jesus offensive. They also feared that Roman backlash, and so they found themselves filled with mixed emotions on this occasion as Jesus made his way into the city. How'd the crowds respond? Interestingly, Luke says nothing about that. The other gospel writers do, but Luke doesn't say anything about the crowds. We hear about the disciples, and we hear about the Pharisees, but that's it. Interestingly as well, Luke doesn't say anything about palms. Did you notice that? We call it Palm Sunday, but there are no palms in Luke. We could call it Cloak Sunday instead, because that's what they were using. But in the other gospel accounts, people did throw their cloaks down, but then when they had nothing left to throw down, they grabbed hold of palms, and that's what they put on the ground. Each gospel writer has an emphasis of their own and sometimes includes things and doesn't include things, depending on why they're writing. We do know that the crowds were thrilled. We see that in the other gospels. And there was a sense of anticipation in the people that they were going to be delivered from the Roman oppression. Jerusalem was Roman occupied. It was not the way of life that these Jewish people wanted to live. And they were hoping against hope that all of this excitement that was deriving around Jesus was something that suggested that even as a human leader, he might be able to deliver them from their current oppression. How did creation respond to Jesus entering Jerusalem? This is a fun one, because when the Pharisees rebuke Jesus, when they tell him to tell his people to stop saying such glorious things about him, Jesus says, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. It's a statement of reality, but it's also quite a firm rebuke for those religious leaders. Inanimate creation knows more about God than the Pharisees. Think about it. If they were to close their mouths that day, all of creation would declare who Jesus was, would declare his glory, his power, and the significance of what was to come. How did Jesus respond on this day? Well, aside from riding that colt into Jerusalem, if we look just a few verses ahead in 41 to 44, we see his response. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus weeps. Jesus laments over Jerusalem. It's similar to another lament he has over the city in chapter 13. On that occasion, as Jesus lamented their lostness, he brought to mind the image of a mother hen who drew her chicks closely under her wings to protect and nurture them. While these words are a strong warning, Jesus offers them through a loving veil of tears. Tears over unnecessary pain that his people will experience. Tears, perhaps, over what the coming week will hold for him. As Jesus entered Jerusalem on this day, Holy Week was underway. The culmination of his entire earthly ministry. The disciples, the crowds, the Pharisees had no idea that it was all leading to this, but Jesus did. Jesus knew what he'd come for, and he willingly entered into the city fully aware of all that was to come in that week. We have the opportunity to join Jesus and his disciples in observing this final week of his earthly ministry. We've talked about it before, but the tendency in the church is to hop from Sunday to Sunday, isn't it? The joy and celebration, the cute factor of the kids up here singing, all that we're experiencing today, and then, hey, make sure you come next week for Easter Sunday, for celebration, for resurrection, but skipping the valley that exists between those two Sundays, missing all that Jesus and his disciples endured and experienced and learned during the week that led to that final resurrection. We have the chance to climb into it, though, if we choose. Luke chapters 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23 record the events of this week, including Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Take time this week to join Jesus and the disciples by immersing yourself in that text. Read a chapter a day, or read each of them every day along the way. As you make your way through this coming week, it will prepare your heart and your soul for all the joy that resurrection brings if we travel through the valley with them. We'll meet this Thursday, as I already mentioned, to put ourselves in that upper room along with Jesus and his disciples, to remember the new command that he gave to his people, to love one another, to be known by that love, to see him once again bowing before his own disciples to wash their feet, and to taste together the elements that comprise the beautiful communion meal that he gave. We'll meet again on Friday to remember the full extent of Jesus' love, to remember how dark that day was, and yet how necessary in order to bring you and me into this family of faith. And then, and only then, we will meet on Easter Sunday to celebrate the new life of resurrection. How will we respond to Jesus and all that he's done for us? Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, it's incredible to imagine the energy of that very first Palm Sunday. You knew exactly what you were doing. The people around you knew bits and pieces of what was to come. But the air was filled with excitement because in you people found hope. In you people believed life could change, life could be different, life could be better. And Jesus, that's what you've done for us. You were faithful, you were obedient to follow into Jerusalem, even though you knew what was coming, so that the hosannas that were sung on that day became a reality through your death and your resurrection. We are so grateful to you for that, so thankful to you for all that you accomplished for each of us. And so as we sit today on Palm Sunday, and we gaze ahead toward Easter Sunday, help us to slow down, to take the time in this coming week to immerse ourselves in your story, to imagine ourselves there for each of the scenes that take place that lead you to the cross. And then, as we emerge on the other side, fill us with a joy that overflows at the power of the reality of your resurrection. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.